This is kind of interesting, this everybody fanning themselves. This is the old-fashioned worship together. Remember back in the days before air conditioning? And Nalu said, I said, how do they do it in Tonga? And I said, well, they have big fans. We should have been renting them out or something here this morning. But you what? No hell and brimstone this morning? All right, we'll have to go with something else. Fire and brimstone's right out. Let's talk about the Queen's roses. How many of you know about the Queen's roses? I did not know anything at all. I'm not very Brit lit. And I was scanning through Channel 6, PBS, and there was a special, and it was talking about the Queen's Rose Garden. I did not know there was such a thing. Queen Elizabeth, England, you've heard of her. What was it? This is her 70th? 70th anniversary. What? Amazing. She has always been in my life. So at any rate, they have a rose garden. Now, if she passes, when she passes, and Charles takes the throne, I assume it will become known as the King's Rose Garden. I don't know. But it's a rose garden. It's quite famous. They did a PBS special on it, and they were talking about the different varietals, and they were talking about the gardener that was in charge of that rose bush. Now, I'm clergy. And when I took on the mantle of clergy, I lost my home, literally became homeless. I lived in the church-provided facility called the parsonage. Most churches have a parsonage. And so you move into this, the church owns it, you occupy it until such time as you change, and you just move to a new parsonage. And it was very conducive to being able to move people in a very handy way of doing things. But it was not until I moved here to Aurora that I bought a home. So neither here nor there. Each of the parsonages that I inherited or was moved to, they all had rose bushes. Now, I don't know anything. Well, I do know one thing about rose bushes, and that is that if they don't want you around, they'll let you know. If you forget there's a rose bush there and you want to just brush by, they will let you know that you're ignoring them. They're quite an interesting plant. Beautiful, aromatic, but completely foreign to me. And the first sets of rose bushes that I dealt with, when the fall came, I cut them off basically about this high above the ground all the way across. Someone instructed me that I was committing rosicide and explained to me that wasn't the thing to do. And one parishioner actually brought me a package of what was called rose food. I did not know that they had a special diet. But after that, I did apply some rose food to the roses in that particular garden. I couldn't tell whether the rose was happier or not, but roses are foreign to me. And so when I was watching this PBS special about the rose garden, the Queen's Rose Garden, I thought the worst possible job I could get would be the gardener for the Queen's rose bushes. I would be totally inept at that. So I'm a little bit worried about that, and the reason that it all came up was out of the psalm this morning. The Lord has given humans dominion over the works of the Lord. The Lord has put all things under their feet, all the sheep and oxen and also beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Dominion. The Lord has given us dominion. Now, I started down one avenue. I went and looked up the Hebrew word for dominion, and I was going to print it, and I was going to learn to pronounce it and pronounce it to you, and you were going to repeat it back. And then I thought, none of us will remember that a week after we do it. So let's just pretend that we did all that, and we did the Hebrew, and we butchered it, and now we went on. So here is this Hebrew word, dominion, and it there's 81 places in the Old Testament where the word is used. And it translates in all of those different places as the ruler or overseer or the dominion. Dominion, that's pretty neat stuff. But there are two ways to look at that. If you have dominion, how many of you would like to have dominion? You're in charge. It's good to be king. Have you ever thought about it? If I were in charge, this is the way things would go. If I were in charge of the whole world, I would do this and this and this, and I would order things just exactly the right way. And in point of fact, the phrase in the psalm puts them under our feet was very symbolic. That was how the king denoted. When you came before the king, you lowered yourself so that you were below the feet of the king. You were under complete domination. The king had all say. Would you like to be king? Would you like to be in charge of everything? I have had to be in charge of a couple of different places. I screwed them both up. And I began to realize that along with that dominion thing goes another word, and that is responsibility. All of a sudden, that term dominion not only means in charge of, but also responsible for. And not only that, but accountable for what you do and how you are about it. Now think about that. You're going to be in charge of all those things, the sheep and the oxen and the beasts and the birds and the seas and all of those things, but you're also going to be accountable for them. How do you feel about being in charge now? Feel like a heavy load? Jesus understood that. He said, "My yoke is heavy, but my burden is light." And know that. And know another thing that's going on here. I'll go to that in a minute. I need to change directions. This responsibility. You're in charge now. All things, you're in charge. You're the one that is going to make all the decisions and be accountable on how those decisions come out. How does that feel? That responsibility. That responsibility includes, as Christians, justice. If there is one thing that is about God, God is a God of justice. All through the Bible we can hear. Let me give you a few quotes. This is Proverbs. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Proverbs 28. Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. The prophet Amos said, "Let justice roll on like a river, righteous like a never-falling stream." Psalm 37, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever." Some of you will remember Micah, the 6th chapter. "God has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does God require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God." Isaiah, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." Psalm 106, "Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right." Zechariah, "This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice. Show mercy, compassion to one another." Luke 18, "This fellow by the name of Jesus said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly." So now we have dominion, king of everything, in charge of all of things, and accountable for everything, and accountable to bring about what God calls us to do about justice. Justice is righteousness, appropriateness, and not only that, for our human interactions and our social world, but the natural world. The sheep and oxen, the beasts, the birds, the fish, the oceans. It's what reminded me of the Queen's Garden and gardeners. We are gardeners by heritage, you knew that. And God blessed Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the heaven, over every living thing that moves on the earth." Dominion again. Adam and Eve, from our very beginnings, we have had that dominion, that charge, in charge and responsibility. It's a big job. I'm kind of overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but I look around at the world and I think, are we doing the right thing doing this? Are we doing the right thing doing that? And there's a big debate about whether electric vehicles are more air polluting, carbon producing, environmentally damaging than petroleum vehicles, and maybe there's some other solutions, and nobody knows, and you go round and round, and I just wake up in the middle of the night worrying about things. What's the right way to go, and how are we to know? It's okay. This is Pentecost. The King, Lord God, has spoken and has sent the Spirit of truth, who descended upon us in tongues as of fire and gave us utterance and ability, and who speaks to us and guides us. The Holy Spirit can help us figure out how to be and who to be and whose to be, for we are about being those who would care for God's good creation. The Holy Spirit tells the truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into his truth. We hear that. We hear Jesus explaining and making clear in John that this is the one to follow. It is God Almighty. So you're in charge, brothers and sisters. You're the gardeners. The Lord God has taken humans and put them in the Garden of Eden to work it, to benefit from it, to till it, to have dominion over it, and to take charge and be responsible for it. Tough job, but we have backup in the Holy Spirit who is upon us. Amen? Amen.